When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have nightmares.
It's a scary book.
Knowing me as you do, Joe.
I'm just saying, you might.
Probably.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 165 of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. This is Adam, and I'm joined by Jill. How's it going, Jill?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Are you checking levels right now?
Maybe.
What's going on?
Not much.
Just getting ready for Halloween.
Yeah, ready for Halloween.
So before I get into my rambling that I want to do, first off, let everyone know what you did this episode.
So last week, you talked with Christina and Andrea about young adult horror, and this week, I talked with Christina and Andrea and our coworker Shannon about adult horror books.
We promise there are way more readers in this office. It just so happened that Christina and Andrea are big horror readers of both YA and adult. So.
Yes, and Shannon, this is Shannon's first time on the podcast, too.
Yes, which is awesome. We love getting new voices here. We're always bringing in new people here at Overdrive, so we, every couple of months, Jill and I do the whole, hey, who wants to come on the podcast? And we get new names all the time, which is great, so I'm excited to listen to it. This is our, like we said, like I think our last kind of horror genre one. We have, I think, one or two more interviews with horror-adjacent authors.
Yes.
And then we pretty much run the gamut after that. I want to ask, so I, last week for the YA one, I was talking to Dawn Kurtagich, and we talked about stuff that we always do for Halloween. So I wanted to ask you, do you have either movies you watch every year or things that you guys do like as a tradition for Halloween? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Movies I always watch are the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Of course.
That's a good Halloween costume. Anyway, sorry, okay.
That's a really good Halloween costume.
No. As I get distracted, I'm at that point where I'm like, I have no Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. I do, but I could go to Magenta. That would be super easy. I just have to... Okay, anyway... Okay, tangent. Rocky Horror Picture Show, Rosemary's Baby, and Hocus Pocus.
Ooh, Rosemary's Baby.
I love Rosemary's Baby.
It's really good.
It's so good. It's one of my favorites. And
did you see the new one they did a couple years ago?
No.
Don't. It's not good. It was very bad. It's very, very bad.
No, I love Rosemary's Baby.
So the reason I ask, and we are also a Hocus Pocus household, and I talked last week about Nightmare Before Christmas. So last week on Saturday, we had every year on Christmas Eve, my wife and I and my sister-in-law and a few people have what we call Sauce-mas. So we have all of our friends over. You're right to give me that look. We have a bunch of friends come over, and we literally just we imbibe on a lot of alcohol, and we watch a bunch of Christmas movies. So this year, we wanted to do it for the first time for Halloween. So we had a bunch of friends come over. We originally told them, like, come over at any time during the day, assuming they would come over in, like, the evening. No, all of our friends showed up at, like, noon. So we did brunch, and we spent 12 hours watching Halloween movies.
Wow.
So we started, like, lighthearted. We did Nightmare Before Christmas and then Hocus Pocus, and we did Monster Squad and, why am I drawing a blank? Vampires with – it's very old. We're going to have to cut all this
like,
out.
Is it called Vampires?
No.
Nosferatu?
No. Not that old. It's like from the 80s.
Oh.
And it has, it's kind of, oh man. Just cut all this out. I can't think of what it was. As we went through the day, we got like more scary. So we ended with the original Halloween, which is my favorite.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And then we watched The Conjuring 2.
Whoa. I saw the first one. I didn't.
Second one's creepy.
Is it?
Yeah. But it was cool. So I've been thinking about this a lot because I feel like we've really executed well on our Halloweening this year.
Yeah, my friends, we've been doing that for a long time. There's usually one night during October where they, one of my friends sets up a big projector and we go and we watch like really campy 70s and 80s movies.
Yes.
I unfortunately was not able to attend this year, which is on Saturday. But yeah, that's something we've been doing for a long, long time.
Lost Boys was the movie that I couldn't think of. So now you don't have to cut out any of that stuff that I said to cut out earlier. God.
Lost Boys. Yeah.
My wife loves it. Kiefer Sutherland has some pretty great hair in it.
Yeah, well, he did for most of his life.
Yes. We're also going to watch Trick or Treat this week, because we always watch Trick or Treat. The if people haven't seen it, it came out a few years ago, and it's like a series of short horror stories that are all tied together, a little bit of an anthology. It's very cool. All
right.
It's really good stuff. So I've rambled way too long. I know this is a long episode again, so I shouldn't have done that. If people want to get a hold of us, how can they do that?
They can find us on Twitter and Instagram at ProBookNerds. They can also email us directly at ProfessionalBookNerds@Overdrive.com.
Yes, they can. If you want to get some book recommendations, if you want to tell us what you want to hear from us, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah. Anything else people should know before they dive into this episode?
Something related, but something I meant to say in the podcast but forgot. So we do talk about House of Leaves. For our Cleveland friends who are also House of Leaves fans, he will actually be in Cleveland on November 7th through Max Bax on the East Side.
Ooh.
Yes. I cannot attend. I have my own author event. But you may see some of our coworkers there, because I told a couple who I know are fans of his. So
if Christina doesn't go, I'm going to yell at her.
She was one of the ones I told.
Good.
I had a friend. He was here last year. I mean, he's here for his books, The Familiar. And I could not attend last year because ankle issues. But
ankle gate.
Yeah, ankle gate. But a friend of mine went and she took her copy of House of Leaves. He literally just did a big Z.
Yeah, that's amazing.
As his signature. I was like, oh God. And yeah, I can't go this time. I could give Christina my copy and be like,
yes, you could. Absolutely.
Get it signed for me.
Hey, you know what? We bring her on the podcast all the time. I feel like it's the least she could do is get you a book signed.
So that's for our Cleveland friends. That's for awesome. Those non-Cleveland friends, he's on tour apparently. So
that's amazing.
Check out and see if he's coming near you if you're a House of Leaves fan.
That's very, very cool. So
that's all. All
right. Well, and we have a lot of really cool stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. That yeah, actually follow our Instagram, because there'll be a lot of behind the scenes stuff that you'll see over the next couple weeks. We have some very fun people visiting the office.
We do.
So, that's a little like, hey, go follow our Instagram. Okay, anything else?
Nope.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this Halloween special episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast presented by Overdrive. Last week, we had young adult horror novels, and today we are talking about the grown-up adult horror novels. Yay!
Yay!
So, Christina and Andrea are back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hi.
And
you're going to make that happen. You're going to make that happen.
I know. We also have Shannon, who is brand new. Hi, Shannon.
Hello, Jill. Happy to be here.
Yay! First time on the podcast. It's very exciting.
I feel like that was in harmony, and I'm really proud of us.
I know. This is why I like having you guys on. Okay, so it is October.
Friday the 13th.
We are recording.
I just yelled. I yelled so much. I'm so sorry.
We are indeed. Oh, God, Shannon, this is like...
Just so everyone knows, my dress also has the pattern of 13s on it, along with vintage cats and jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah. I dressed for the occasion.
She looks wonderful.
You. Thank you.
Vintage.
Yes.
Really loving the cut of the dress.
Oh, yeah.
Looking... You're missing out, guys. Frankly.
Visualize it.
I'm in a sweater that is a bit frumpy.
But comfy frumpy.
Comfy frumpy.
Perfect for reading horror books.
I think we're getting off topic.
We are. I'm actually wearing black and like a...
Orangish.
Yeah. Orangish. It was not planned that way, but there you go.
Yeah, so. Look and fly as well.
Thanks.
Andrea's wearing a hunter green.
Black skinny jeans.
Yep.
And some
boots.
Cafe boots.
There you go.
There we go. We're all caught up.
We're rocking it, yeah.
So, should we get the big one out of the way since we are talking?
Yeah, well, I also want to give Shannon, like, this was your first one, right?
Yeah.
Let's get it out of the way then. You get to introduce it, though.
Well, I will first tell you, though, yeah, that Adam specifically told me that Christina is not allowed to...
I know. I bring it up every single time, so everyone should know.
But that's okay. You can... I gave you permission
to
talk
about
it. Thank you, Joel. But it was on Shannon's, her number one. So go ahead and tell us what your number one book is for this.
All right. Well, my number one book is House of Leaves.
What?
I had a really amazing experience reading this book as well, because I was on a drive across the country with my entire family. And so for 11-hour days over the course of, I think, 5 days, I read this book in a car while my family was listening to other audiobooks and screaming about Dean Koontz things. So it was a little bit of a juxtaposition situation. I really immersed myself in it, which is, as any of all of us know, because of House of Leaves, you have to immerse yourself in that book. I feel like it's like a sounding block for me. So many things I feel like are homages to House of Leaves these days. A lot of contemporary horror books that I read, have direct homages, like Navenson, is in other things that I've read too. And let's just say it's going to be a favorite for mine for the rest of my life.
And what book is this?
The House of Leaves.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, what? How are you not sure? Like,
I will also say that this is not actually a book that is currently available for sale in Overdrive Marketplace. However, I think we had a version at one point.
We did.
So your library might have it. That said, I don't do this very often because there's very few reasons where it would be necessary to say this. If you're going to read this book, get the physical copy because...
Chill.
So...
Sometimes I just don't know how. You have to turn it upside down
and look it in the mirror. Yeah.
I feel like it would ruin the reading experience.
It's a very textile.
It is very.
You want to you want to touch it. You want to be able to really immerse yourself as you're reading it.
I know when I got them too, there were different editions, and I got the full color, which House is always in blue, and so whenever I write it out, still I always have a blue marker when I write out House of Leaves because I feel like Dan Nooski's gonna come and get me.
I feel the editor of this book was like, I don't.
I don't think I'm sure the editor gave up halfway through because it would take forever.
They're probably like, no, it's fine.
That's why there's so many pages of footnotes.
It's great. Yeah. But I read it from recommendation from my friend Julia. Hi, Julia. She actually let me borrow her copy. And I picked it up and tried to read it and then put it down and then picked it up and then put it down. And finally, because a book you almost kind of have to commit to reading in one sitting because you almost have to adapt to it. I've said this before. It's a lot like Clockwork Orange where you first read it and you're like, this is bananas. I don't understand any of this. Also, I'm deeply, deeply frightened. You know from the get-go that it's unsettling, but you don't know why. So I've always said it reminds me of a found footage film. You're in for some scares, but you don't know when. And there's no calm moment where you're like, okay, this is fine. The whole time you're just like, I'm so scared. But I read it in 4 days because I finally committed to it, and I'm glad I did. I mean, it's awesome. Terrifying.
It's an intense book. It is an experience.
I agree. I also started it when I was in high school for the first time, put that down, and it wasn't until a couple years later I was in college when I went through it. And I think I'm glad that I waited a couple more years because you do have to have the mindset.
It is,
it's a monster of a book.
Adult horror. It's for adults.
Yes. Yes. It's very, because in the beginning it's just very unsettling, like you said, because you know something is wrong.
It's like a descent into madness. Yes. You descend.
I wrote that. I wrote that exact thing.
Prove it.
This is true madness. Oh, I said this is
a descent.
Perhaps the greatest work there is to capture the true essence of the. You will lose. Okay, I didn't say that exactly. Apologies. I lied to all of you. I think his dedication is one of my favorite things in a book. It says, this book is not for you. Mm-hmm. And it's so true because it's not for everyone. I feel like I've tried to recommend it, but it's got to be the right person you recommend it to. You wouldn't just give it to some Sally on the street. Here's a book rec for you. I don't know. Anytime. I've never met someone on the street and been like, let me tell you some book recs.
Hey, stranger.
Let me hit you with some recs. Anyway.
So for those who maybe don't know what it's about, as we've talked 10 minutes about it.
Adam's going to be so mad.
Whatever, I'm in charge today. It's fine.
There you go.
So it's multiple stories kind of in one. At the heart of it is a house that is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's kind of like the TARDIS in that way. And there's
nice
a family.
Reference.
Thanks. There's a family that moves in, and this house is obviously not all that it seems. And then there's there's a found footage video mentioned in it, and people reading a manuscript about the house and about the video, and it's just...
It's like a story within a story within a story.
It's like Inception in book form.
And I think when it was the first release, people believed the journalistic element of it was real. Mm-hmm. Like, that was actually, like, outside of the story, within the
story. Or, like, trying to find the video.
Yeah, like, it's all based on, like, a real thing, which I wish I read that when that was happening. Like, could you imagine? You'd be like, oh, my God.
I thought the Blair Witch Project was real when I first saw it.
I did as well.
I think a lot of people did. And that's why I found footage is... Yeah. I finally saw the Blair Witch Project.
It was the first of the, you know,
Witch, the Blair Witch. The Blair Witch Project. What's it called? The Blair Witch?
Blair Witch Project.
Well, is it... No, because the one that just came out, was it Blair Witch or was it The Blair Witch?
Guys.
I don't You're right.
I know, we're getting...
Anyway. Sorry. But I think it has that, like, that...
Thanks, Shannon.
It would have been so so cool to read this when it first was really taking off, to, like, believe that perhaps it could be real. Because that's... When you read horror, like... You want to be scared. And this is one of the... I've read stuff that was grotesque and, like, creeped me out, but not necessarily, like, really scared me. And this was the one where I had to, like go into, like, and, like, pick up my dog and be like, I need you to come everywhere with me, including the bathroom. So, I don't know.
I think it's the element of not knowing. Like, you don't really know what is going on, and you don't know what is happening. It just continues to happen. And it is, like, these really little moments. For me, one of the, like, it freaks me out every time I read the book, but when they build the bookshelf and it's, like, in this little nook, right? She builds this bookshelf and there are books on the bookshelf, and then she comes back and the books have fallen over because that gap in the wall has grown for just out of nowhere. Like, that is, as someone who, like, owns books and, like, has bookshelves, like, that is just so creepy and unsettling to me. And I think that's what it is. It's this not knowing what is going on and it being in this very real world example of, oh, yeah, you move into a house and there's, like, this closet and you're just like, oh, what's in here? And it's just, yeah.
Except anytime you that's set up that way, you're like, what are you doing?
I know.
Well, I'm really excited for my move in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, if you came to me and you're like, I found this really weird book in a closet, I'd be like, you have to move. You have to move. You gotta go. You gotta claim, like, fraud. They didn't tell you.
No, after this move, this is the house I'm dying in. It might be now. It might be because I find the book in a closet.
Why would you put that out into the universe?
Well, if you tell us you go into a closet and then you never come back to work again, I'm just gonna leave you there because I'm not going through all that.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, I love you. We
loved
you.
I would do the same, so I understand.
I know. Yeah, I don't. It's like when I see a spider, I'm like, ugh.
Well, these people have been here for, like, 20-plus years, so I should be okay.
Oh, you should be fine.
Yeah, it's not like they've been there for 5 years.
Unless they're leaving suddenly because of the ghost travel.
Well, they weren't in a hurry to leave, so.
Maybe they were just trying to find all of their family members that got lost inside of the house.
All right! Well, let's move on.
Have fun. All right, so read House of Leaves.
Please. Read it as fast as you can. Don't do it in a long run, a recommendation.
And with the light on.
Yeah, with the light on. Preferably with a
puppy. Or perhaps this book is not for you. Guys, I wrapped it up.
That's
a good wrap up.
So, what else is on everybody else's
I don't
list?
Know if it's a good wrap up if you call it a good wrap up. Like, I know. That was great, guys. I
destroy all of my good jokes by saying that was a great joke. You're welcome. you go. You didn't. You
go?
Yeah.
Okay.
You read The House of Leaves, so you're terrible.
My first book is actually a series, but there is a caveat. So, there's 25 books out right now, the 26th is coming out next year. Wow. But I would stop after book 10. I would not go beyond that. So it's the first book is called Guilty Pleasures, and it's by Laurel K. Hamilton. It's the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series. So Anita starts out, she is a necromancer.
Oh, I love necromancers.
And she can raise people from the dead. And she's also a vampire hunter, hence the name. She starts out very snarky, very sarcastic, very straight to the point, just badass. She, you know, gets knocked out by a vampire because he throws her across the room when she calls him a B-movie Dracula. There's a master vampire who gets in her face, and she tells said master vampire, you need a breath mint. Your breath smells like blood.
Ooh, wow.
So, yeah, she's, like, very, like...
Like a, Buffy.
Yeah, like, very, I was gonna say, like...
Like
yeah,
Buffy.
Like Buffy.
But adult Buffy.
Everyone in this room loves Buffy.
Buffy.
Adult Buffy.
I'm watching it.
And these are like, so the vampires are known, like they know they exist, that kind of universe, but they will slit your throats, they will eat you, they will turn you into a vampire, they will just kill you.
Do they poof?
They do not. They do. They can. Well,
for some reason, thought you said poop, and I was like,
well, they might.
It's poop. Not. I don't know. If that's about, like my first question.
So they're the kind of vampire. They like die at dawn, and they come back to life at like dusk, kind of thing.
Oh.
So they're like knocked out. But yeah, you can kill them. You can stake them, chop their heads off, whole thing.
Burn them.
Burn them.
Garlic.
Garlic crosses.
Yeah.
Holy water.
Holy water. Holy water. Whole. But another thing, though, she says, because I'm re-listening to the first book, you've got to believe in it, because she's like, an atheist waving a cross is a truly pitiful sight. Because you have to believe in it. You just can't hold up the cross. You've got to, you know.
That is something.
So that's like one of those things. So they're very good. I don't know if I'd consider it horror, but they're very, like, tough, badass vampires. Paranormal, badass vampires. And then around book 10, 11... so they are adults. There are sex scenes. They are detailed sex scenes. Around 10, 11 is when they start to get more sex and less plot. And you're just, they like, you can tell that it's just like a quick switch. So that's why I say stay with books 1 through 10, because those are really good, have a lot of plot, deal with a lot of different monsters. And then she just, it's just like, oh, okay, sex scene, sex scene, sex scene. Oh, plot! Oh, sex scene. Sex scene. Sex scene.
That might be a selling point for some people.
Some people like you know what? I hate plot. I'm here for
but for me.
Sure. Sure.
I need the plot with a little bit of the sex thrown in, not the sex with a little bit of plot.
Yeah, no. I mean, you don't want to be reading a sex scene and then, like, during it be like, don't, I mean, like, there's some pressing things going on in this story. Like, can you speed things up a bit here? Like,
yeah, that's kind of what it was. Like, I'd get to a point where I was like, okay.
Do you have time for this right now? You're hunting vampires.
Right, yeah. You do not have time for this. So that's my recommendation. Read the series. Keep going if you want, but 1 through 10 is really where it's at.
Okay.
So.
Should I go? Okay.
Go ahead.
I have City Infernal by Edward Lee. If you guys have ever read anything by him before, he's kind of a just doesn't care how you feel about any sort of propriety. Like, just, he's like the human centipede of literary horror, I would say. And he does it really, really well. He has a very, very big collection of books. I think he has a couple series, couple short stories, all within, like, the horror genre. This one's a standalone. It's about the city of hell. Hmm. So, takes the idea that there's, like, a metropolis in the center of hell. And Cassie, the main character, who's not really the most abundant of morals, just kind of just disregards them entirely. She travels to hell to save her twin sister, Lisa. And basically the story is Cassie's journey into hell. And then, like, it kind of climaxes in the 666th floor.
It's like a very dark, hardcore Dante.
Yeah, and which is why, as you guys know, I was like, here. And it has a lot of allusions to Dante. Just very dark, very, very detailed, and like, you can picture hell. By the time she gets to the Mephisto building, which is where the devil lives, it's like, you have got a full picture of what this hell looks like. And it is just very unsettling and very gross, but not in a gore sort of way. Like, you I've heard me talk about gore doesn't really bother me. It's just hell. It sounds like hell. And I won't ruin it, but you don't, it kind of comes to the end there in that final scene, and it's like, you've been waiting for it, but at the same time you're like, oh my god, this is horrific, but it's really good.
So, in a much lighthearted mood, has anyone else read Horror Store?
Yes.
So I just read Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. It is a comedic horror novel. It takes place in what is essentially a haunted IKEA in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have an IKEA.
Not far from, I know we don't.
It's like literally like in where we work too.
Really? Yeah, are we supposed to get an IKEA?
Well, there's rumors, so yeah, I'd be careful.
Maybe this book is what pushes IKEA to be like, all right, we'll give Cleveland an IKEA.
Sorry, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, I'd love an IKEA.
Yeah, right. So it's actually an IKEA knockoff. I mean, that's what the store Orsk calls itself in the book, is an IKEA knockoff. But it's sort of a parody of IKEA and sort of the, I want to say, like, cult mentality around IKEA. And I say that as someone who loves IKEA, but, you know. But, yeah, they, in the book, they describe it as being off of 77 near Independence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is IKEA where Overdrive is?
Are we somehow?
Are we IKEA?
Is this like a dimensional thing? Are we Orsk?
Well, when I heard that they're potentially putting an IKEA like across the street from us, I was like, guys, we should never go in there because the chairs will attack you.
For the Swedish meatballs,
you'll be like
Shannon.
Pulled into to different walls and things.
I'd it, come home every day with like a new chair, and Joe would be like, this has got to stop. But it's right across the street.
I know. Also, yeah. We're helping the situation because it's clearly haunted.
Right.
Although,
right.
Truthfully, if they did put it over there, that place is for sure haunted.
See?
I mean, it does look like an apocalypse.
Dear
zone.
IKEA, if you're listening, we should talk more.
Yeah, it was hysterical. It was so funny. And in the... So, yeah, it's there's, like, weird things going on overnight between the evening and the morning shift. And so this manager and two of his staff members stay overnight to kind of do a patrol around the store to find out what's going on. And between each chapter are catalog pages of items that are very much like you would find in an IKEA catalog with sort of the Scandinavian names, and they kind of have these fun descriptions. But as the book progresses, the items get a little...
Tortury.
Yes. Tortury. That's the best way to put it. I mean, oh my God, it was hysterical. And if you listen to the audiobook, they have a lot of fun with the... catalog interludes because there's like this fun little music and he does like that nice. Sort of like commercial voice like reading the catalog. Oh my God, it's hysterical.
What was it called?
Horror Store.
Horror Store.
Then he just and this year I read his other his second book, My Best Friend's Exorcism, which I'm not sure if you've gotten to yet.
I've checked it out, but I've not started it yet.
It's a lot of fun, similar fun, all to be looked like a yearbook from the 80s. There's just a lot of little just nuggets of cult classic type homages in there. It is gross in the funniest way. It's a, you know, about two girls, best friends in high school, total misfits, and then the one just starts going, you know, batshit. So it is
as one does.
Well, I mean, if I were possessed, yeah. I mean,
I might have been. High school was rough
without being possessed.
It's just right? Alone. It's just... I think I don't want I feel like you should go, Shannon.
All right.
I have like 9. But I don't need to talk about all of them.
I can go. I have one on top of my
I know head. Somewhere as soon as Adam's listening to this, he's going to be like, "Christina, quit directing everyone. This is not your podcast." Yeah, Adam, I know.
Well, that's why he should be here to like reel you in, and he's not. So, yeah.
Sorry, this is just me unhinged. It's a horror podcast.
Well, one of my absolute favorites is, and I'm not sure, I guess, if you can describe it as horror, but I feel like it's in the realm of the books that I feel are similar, is Night Film by Marisha Pessl.
Yes. Yeah.
This book, like, I envy people who haven't read this book yet, because, my God, I wish I could do it again for the first time. I wish I could do it again and, like, slow down, too, because I couldn't put it down. It's very much... It's a frame narrative, too, that's like an investigation about this man who is investigating this cult film director's daughter's death. So it's got actual, like, amazing pictures in it that are as if they're like Wikipedia or almost like, you know, like dark web type versions of these things that are...
Are there pictures in the book?
Yeah, in the book, yeah. Of when the investigator is, like, finding things, and he gathers these two other misfit-type people, and they end up, like, breaking in to, you know, where this film director lives, and, oh, just, it is a ride. It's a lot of fun. Like, there's not, I don't want to give a lot away, but it is definitely something that, like, unravels as you go. Some of your sanity, too, so I definitely recommend it.
It was so good. Sort of, kind of on the investigation thing, one that you recommended to me was A Head Full of Ghosts.
Mm-hmm, I have that on my list, too.
Oh, guys, it was so good. Yeah. It's also sort of kind of exorcism-based, mm-hmm. and this, like, family, the one daughter, and they bring in, like, a documentary film crew to do, like, mm-hmm. a TV show about it. Oh, man, it's so good.
I mean, if I was ever in a situation and my family was like, yeah, we're really concerned about you, but also we hired a documentary crew. Like, we're going to exploit your pain and make money off of it.
Well, it's really interesting because it's told in different time, so it's told in the past primarily at like what's happening with like this older sister's exorcist situation, and then like the younger sister in the future is talking about like, yeah, I get people all the time like, oh my gosh, is that you, because you know they had a documentary of their family, and just sort of like being a joke because like, that was, like, this is my life, people. It's not just your cult thing. So it was an interesting, like, real gritty way of meeting a character, because, like, right off the bat, you realize that this girl's whole horrible life has just been broadcast through, you know, and it's this amazing thing for half the world.
Also related, but a month ago, there was the 16 horror books recommended by Stephen King, and that was one of them. So it scared Stephen King.
It's freaky.
It scared Stephen King.
I mean, it's on his list of
books that scared me.
Yeah, scared. The exact quote is, "Scared the living hell out of me, and I'm pretty hard to scare."
Yeah.
That's a pretty high recommendation.
Right. That is a high recommendation.
I don't know if I can handle that.
I'll go. So I've got Dead Spots by Rhiannon Frater. So this is, Mackenzie is going through a rough time. She just had a miscarriage and her husband left her because she couldn't get over it.
Oh.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy.
Sounds great. It sounds like a right? real champion.
That's a winner. Right? Winner right there.
So she is driving back to her mother's house, and on the way she has this an accident, and when she pulls off to the side of the road, she sees an abandoned cafe. So, like any sensible person, she's like, "I'm going to go inside said abandoned cafe." And when she goes in the cafe, she actually opens the door to a dead spot. Now, a dead spot is sort of like this parallel plane that exists, but it's where, like, your nightmares are. And the only way to get in and out of a dead spot is for the door to open on the living side, where we are. But you only have dead spots in abandoned buildings, so it doesn't happen very often. So when she walks into the dead spot, there's this guy, Grant, there. And he's like, no, don't close the door. Door closes. And so this place is inhabited by monsters who know your fears, who prey on your fears. And it's just like a living nightmare. Rhiannon describes this world so much and so well that I was like, I can see myself in here, which is terrifying. So you don't really know what's real. She constantly hears baby crying. She hears her mother, like, harping on her. She hears her ex-husband, you know, talking to her. So she's kind of losing her mind. She doesn't know what's real and what's not. And she finds...
And the Grant guy, is he in there too?
He's been in there since the 50s.
Ooh. Oh.
What?
Poor so Grant. He kind of helps her out because he knows how to navigate babe? This world. She refers to him as a Cary Grant lookalike.
Oh, so he is a babe. All right.
Yes.
just checking. Wanted to make sure. So, just once in a story, I wanted to be like, and he was ugly, for everyone wondering.
So I wrote in my review, it's a story of a woman overcoming life and some of death's obstacles to find freedom from her difficult past and horrifying present. Fantastically disturbing, a unique tale of horrors, and a bit of psychological messing with the mind. Dead Spots is a perfect read for any horror fan. It was... very good, but also very terrifying.
That's what you want.
Yes.
Speaking of very good and very terrifying, I have one. Broken Monsters by Lauren Bukes. Did you guys read this one before?
I've read Shining Girls.
She's really... So what I liked about this one, it's like... It's horrifying, but it's not paranormal in any sense. It's so... it's set in one of America's broken cities. I think it's... alluded to be Detroit, so I apologize, Detroit, if that's...
Well, you didn't write it.
So, so there's a serial killer that is on the loose, and bodies are turning up, and they are fused together with animals. So they're, like, finding, you know, like, parts of animals fused together with human corpses. And basically, it's just kind of this, like, unraveling of, like, what this serial killer is about and why it's happening. And you, as a reader, it's horrifying. It could occur in our neighborhood. I mean, hopefully not, but there's nothing supernatural about it. There's just someone on the loose who's deranged. And I think you're hoping it's supernatural by it's over, like by the end of the story. And
that it's not an actual human going
around.
That's
not some crazy human being. That's just so disturbed, but it's really good. And I think it's like some of the worst. My review said something along the lines of, because I think I'm just like so poetic, I was like, because the worst scary stories are those that are very real.
I read earlier this year Foxlow by Eleanor Wasserberg, and that was a similar one where I kept like hoping different things. That book kept me up. Like, it, you know, and it's a short, it's almost no novella. It's short, it's fast, and then at the end, it hits you in your face. Like,
That's kind of how this one was. Like, you're kind of like, you're like, I know this is going to get bad. This is about to get worse. And then you get to the end, you're like, oh my God.
Yes, but also, yeah, very based in reality, very much a terrifying possible story, which
it's not often that you're hoping it's a demon.
Yeah, well, you're like, right. Oh man, I just like a really demon, hope I could disguise better at night.
Right. You know? Oh, okay. Hopefully not gonna get me. But yeah.
This guy's got cloven hooves. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah. One of my favorites, which is sort of an slightly older one, although it's not as old as I think, because I was just reading an article about it, but American Psycho.
My God. God.
Yeah, pretty much.
sleepless nights.
Yeah, I love American Psycho, and what I love about it is that you get to the end and you really have no idea.
No, and you never want to eat Grey Poupon again.
No, I mean, but like you get to the end.
Do you eat it often?
No, I don't look at it anymore.
It's just like getting to the end of American Psycho and not knowing if what you read actually happened or not. And, you know, I mean, he's sort of like Patrick Bateman is kind of the quintessential unreliable narrator, because you have no idea.
Is he actually going around chainsawing people?
Right.
Or is he just imagining, like, is that just it? In his brain?
Like, this meeting sucks. Like, if I could just start chopping these people up, this would make the meeting so much more fun.
And that's where it's like comes to, like, the whole idea of, like, how people go crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, are we, like, that close to losing our minds that we just don't realize it? And then one day we're just going to, like, yep, here we go.
Well, it's such an interesting take on society, too, because it's you know, it's taking place with all these affluent, you know, yuppies is the word that they repeatedly use, and how, you know, people can get away with anything if they have enough money and they do it well. It's just, you know, he even says things sometimes to characters, and they're just like, oh, that sounds normal, and that's cool. And it's just, you know, what happens, and pay attention to the people around you, and if they say things, you should probably pay attention if they're saying things about murder.
Probably. You should probably pay attention.
Yeah, not one to be like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So-and-so is talking about murder again today. How was your day?
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the movie is a great adaptation because, like, the way that it's written, he has these very sort of stark comparison to other parts of the book where he starts talking about, like, Huey and Lewis in the news is a very, like, journalistic aspect to the book. And then in the movie, it's interesting because, you know, as if you've seen it, I'm sure, you know, he talks to the camera and is, like, saying all of these journalistic aspects to about a music and album reviews and stuff while killing people. So
he has to return his videotapes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All about the videotapes.
Wait, is that who played
Christian Bale?
That's who I was thinking. Yeah. Isn't he a method actor, too? I've been really worried.
I don't know. It really is a very good adaptation, but one of my absolute favorite scenes in that entire film is the business card scene.
Yes.
Just the business card scene. And if you've seen the movie, and they do it in the book too, but, like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But I think it's a commentary on society and, like, how scary and horrifying certain segments can be.
Because I feel like on some level you're like, not that we've ever gotten to that point of feeling, but it's like you see, like, how our mind makes that natural next jump to, like, what he ends up doing in the film, in the book as well. You're like, not that you would ever go that far, lose your mind that way, but you're like, oh, obviously this is what happens when you
have no morals.
This is why I'm holding on tight to mine.
Right.
It's the only thing stopping me.
Oh, yeah. That's it from...
Yeah, from mass murder.
All right, that's good to know.
So, you know.
All right.
Pay attention, guys, talking about murder over here.
Learned a lot about you today.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah. I have Haunted by Chuck Palahniuk. I love that book.
That's so good.
And he's, like, a classic example of somebody who takes, like, everyday life and is just like, yeah, I'm going to
seriously
turn this on its head.
Yeah.
So this one is 23 kind of stories in one story. They're the people who have answered an ad for a writer's retreat and have unknowingly joined, like, a survivor show, kind of almost like Saw-esque, and where the game maker basically has all of the heat, power, and food, and you're hearing from each one of these victims, participants. So, like, each story, they're all trying to make themselves the hero of the story, but so it's, like, completely unreliable. And, like, pretty much all of them are terrible. But it's also Chuck, so it's, like, outrageous and at times darkly funny. And just...
Yeah, Adam and I can't remember in what context we were talking about, but we were talking about the short story Guts.
Oh, okay.
A couple weeks ago, which is probably one of the more disturbing stories, and from, at least in my personal opinion, of the collection. But yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I love all of Chuck's stuff.
Chuck is great. Chuck, if you're listening, follow me on Twitter. I've already requested to
That's
follow
it.
You, so you'll
He has
mind.
A new book coming out next year.
I know. I'm excited. But isn't it not till May of 2018 or something like that?
It's a while. But it's coming. I have The Ruins by Scott Smith.
Oh my god! That was my next one!
Was it really?
Yes!
It's like magic.
Yeah.
It's like magic.
I don't know why I like pointed to my screen like you could see it. Like, I'm telling the truth, Jill. Like, look.
It's Jill's like, in the other room.
I am. Thank you for that visual. Yeah, it's this group of friends who go, like, hiking in the Mexican jungle, like you do, and come across ancient ruins and...
I mean, those were my weekend's plans.
Things get a little weird.
It's like when plants attack, basically.
Yes, that's a good way of describing it, when plants attack. And so it's, like, part survival story, and then...
They're kind of going crazy.
Plants attacking and...
Hacking up their... person.
That one kept me up. That was one that I had a hard time because I had nightmares.
Just very
one.
like you feel like you had a bug on you almost. Yes. Like when they're talking, because the plants essentially kind of take over. Like they have like a supernatural element. Obviously there is a movie about this, and the movie is frankly terrible.
One with Mark Wahlberg and Zoe Deschanel.
No,
that one.
That's no,
been happening. That's what I've been thinking about. But this those whole are, time when plants attack.
Those are plants are attacking.
Kind of,
us.
But this is no. This is like I don't even think the guy that was in X-Men who played the Iceman, he's in it. Anyway, it's not good.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I was just I don't know. I read the book and then saw the movie and I was just like, oh man, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Not all books should be made into movies.
That's what I said.
Speaking of books made into movies.
Segway.
Mine's twofold. So I've got Interview with a Vampire by Anne Rice.
Okay. Yes, okay.
Yes.
Very, very good book. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, there's a image. It first came out when like Twilight came out. It's a picture of Louis and Lestat. And the top part of it says, is he sparkling? And the bottom is, that shit is not acceptable. So that, very, very good. I like it a lot.
Do you like the movie better?
Really?
I do.
I mean, I agree. The movie is perfection.
I mean, the movie is really good.
Yeah.
I haven't
seen the
Cruise
movie until many years after I read the book. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those books that I just sat in my room when I was in high school and did not come out until, like, a big chunk of it was. And then I was like, all right, see you later after dinner.
Right.
It was one of those movies I wasn't supposed to be watching. I remember my parents were like, no, you're too young for this. And, like, finding a way to watch it, like, squandered off by myself.
Most
and then
movies,
being like, I'm scared.
I feel like I watched it on, like, TBS or TNT on something when I was younger. And then I watched it when I was older on, like, DVD or, like, HBO. I was like, what is this scene? This scene is new.
I was cutting them all out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they kind of...
They
should rewatch that.
Brad Pitt. I remember that was like the first time I was watching something on the television. Was like, who is that man? And, like, I was like, I'm having feelings. Like, what is this?
Antonio Banderas too.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that he was.
Armand is like my favorite. Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with that entire series. My friends and I were obsessed with that entire series when we were in high school, and we all had like nicknames from it and everything like that. We were weird. We were those kids. But Armand was always my favorite. And like after she finished the series, and she had. Like standalone sort of I don't know how to describe them, but they were about some of the vampires that she referenced in this series but didn't really tell their full story. And there was one all about Armand. It was great.
Just like I was here for that book.
Yeah.
And then to go along with that, Ashley Marie Witter did a graphic novel, Interview with the Vampire, Claudia Story.
Oh.
That was really good. So Claudia Story, obvious, from right before she gets turned to, spoiler alert, right before she goes poof.
Right. Got it.
So it's like her whole story told. It's a very short graphic novel form, but it was very good. And I really kind of like a nice in-depth look into her,
her view of, you know, being this perpetual child 8-year-old forever. Or whatever. And then, you know, but having these feelings for Louis, but also being like, I also have the body of an 8-year-old, which is
yeah.
But being having the mind of like a 100-something.
I remember reading about how Anne and her husband Stan is a poet, and his poems show up in Queen of the Damned. Mm-hmm. And they had a daughter who died when she was about that age, and that's sort of what sparked.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So they also have a son, Christopher, who is also a writer, and he writes horror sort of type things as well. And I think he and Anne have a book or had a book come out recently, and I'm trying to look for it now, and I did not prepare for this.
It sounds familiar. Like, I feel like I remember.
Is it Christopher?
They have Ramses the Damned. They wrote a book together this year. Oh. It is called Ramses the Damned, The Passion of Cleopatra.
I was going to say, Ramses, like, that's Cleopatra, not vampire.
Yeah. Ramses the Great, former pharaoh of Egypt, is reawakened by the elixir of life in Edwardian England.
Oh.
There you go.
Well.
So that's Anne and
culture
her.
Culture shock.
Yeah. And then Ramses has a reawakened Cleopatra with the same perilous elixir whose unworldly force brings the dead back to life.
Oh, like the plot of The Mummy, sort of.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Anne Rice and her son Christopher.
All right.
Well, I'm going to read that. I like that. I'd never write a book with my parents. Not because my parents are both very intelligent and we could write a book together, but I feel like the whole time I would just completely take over, like, as I do. And most things, my parents would be like, don't put my name on that.
Well, did you have Stephen King and Owen King's on your list? Yeah. Okay. Want to talk about that?
No, I was going to transition.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was waiting. I feel like I didn't know. I was waiting for the cue.
Did I just, like, take your whole
time? I was
waiting
for the cue, Jill.
Did I take your entire transition away from you?
No, it's okay. I'm just really upset over here. Sleeping Beauties by Stephen and Owen King. Speaking of familiar connections, that was going to be my tradition.
Sorry.
So in this story, it's when the women in this very small Appalachian town go to sleep, they become shrouded in, like, this cocoon-like gauze, and if they're awakened, or if the gauze is disturbed or violated, the women become, like, feral and spectacularly violent, and while they're asleep, they go someplace else, and the men are abandoned, basically, and left to their own devices, with the exception of this one girl named Evie, who seems to be immune to the blessing. And then it's like, is she a demon? Should we study her? Like, what? I've not read it. I'm really excited about it. I think anything Stephen King does is phenomenal, and I'm happy to read his son's take. Also, don't disturb me when I'm sleeping, so I understand.
I know, that's what I was thinking of. Like, I feel like Stephen King woke up one day and his wife was in a bad mood and went, I got
an idea.
Here.
No, I actually was. I heard an interview with the two of them because the book just came out. So
yeah, I think it came out.
It was on Morning Edition. Yeah, I think it was Owen's idea, and he like went to his dad. He was like, "Hey, Dad, we should write this."
Remember how grumpy Mom gets?
That's what it was. Like, if someone woke me up, I'd be very angry as well.
Yes, if someone disturbed my sleeping gauze, I'd be like, "Get off!
Go make your own breakfast."
Yeah, I'm obviously.
That's how you know you have a lot of clout, is when you go to the publishers, like, the women go to sleep and they wake up angry when the men wake them up, and the publishers are like, all right. Run with it.
Yeah. Have fun. Go with it. But they talked about the writing process and how they don't really remember who wrote what. You know, like, they would each sort of write a part, and then the other one would go back and edit it or add to it. Hmm. So it's very much a collaborative process, because they read a passage together, like, they kind of went back and forth. And she goes, do you either remember who actually wrote that part? And they're like, no, we don't. Because it was just, like, that collaborative that
That's
they
awesome.
Kind of kept it writing
kinda cool.
and rewriting each other's that. So, yeah.
Be deeply upsetting for Owen if it was, like, clearly obvious when it was him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm clearly, like, a crap writer. And my dad's so talented.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, that would be hard. Yeah, I don't know. Shannon, anything else on your list?
You know, I just recently listened to the audiobook. I've been doing sort of classics, and I several years ago I read Shirley Jackson, The Haunting of Hill House, and then just a couple...
Christina likes that book.
I love that book. I talked about it in the YA podcast. It's so good.
It is great. And then I just listened to We Have Always Lived in the Castle a couple weekends ago.
Don't.
That's I just talked about this one. It's becoming a movie.
I didn't realize that until I was listening to it, and I was like looking things up afterwards, which was interesting. That you know that I think it's interesting when older things like that are now on the forefront. But I've been doing things like that, listening to older ones. I'm now listening to The Woman in White, which is actually reputed to be one of the first, if not the first, like sensation novel. So it's a lot about, you know, women losing their mind in asylums and very infuriating in that way. But it's so interesting just to, you know, sort of have this completely different and older take on, you know, on the society and different, like, stark contrast to what I'm used to be reading when it comes to feeling uncomfortable and scared.
No, we've always lived in the castle. I love that story. I'm curious, like, because with Mary Kat and Constance, like, if they are going to turn it into a movie, like, how I've pictured them in my head for so long. Like, I hope the movie sets the story in old times. Otherwise, the story doesn't work.
I would hope so as well. I guess I didn't. There wasn't much on it. It seemed like the production was far enough and long that there would be more, or a trailer or anything. So I'm interested to see what it's going to be like. The adaptation of Haunting of Hill House into The Haunting was not good.
Don't disagree with you. I didn't dislike The Haunting, but I think it's completely separate.
I think it should be a stand. If you do that, then it's...
It's not it shouldn't even be called an adaptation. It should be called just like a brief ode.
Yes.
For a minute.
Inspired by is fine. Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you read the book and then watch the movie and expect the things to happen, you will not. You will be surprised.
You can't put Liam Neeson in a picture and just expect greatness all the time.
I mean.
Can you, though?
I mean. I feel like you can.
I feel like you can.
I don't know. I feel like he's done some paycheck movies.
Oh, for sure. Taken 3. Liam, did you read my mind? Taken 3.
Okay, that's fine. At that point, I'd have been like, you know what? They're yours.
I mean, it does have a really good cast, though. Just take them.
Just keep them. I'm fine.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
First time Owen Wilson, I get it. Second time revenge.
Some random girl I couldn't remember. We talked about
you
it in
the
YA.
The main character?
Yeah, I can't remember her name. We forgot it in the YA podcast, too. Sorry, whoever you are.
Sorry, actress who played the main character.
Oh, Mel.
Lily Taylor.
Oh, I love Lily Taylor.
Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, Lily.
She's in things.
She's been in things. Yeah, she's been in a film or two here or there.
Your comment about women going crazy or whatever.
In asylums and things.
That reminded me of something that I think when I first read it, I had not considered it horror. But now being in my 30s, I do. The yellow wallpaper.
I was hoping you were going to say yellow wallpaper, Jill.
We're like so in sync today.
I know. I wish I could touch you from where I am.
Put your hand against the glass.
I know.
I mean, when I read it.
Jill's not into it. Christina's got her hand.
Sorry.
It's cool. Fine. Ghost me.
when I read the yellow wallpaper, you know, like studied it, I was an English minor, and I got it. I mean, I understood what they were saying, but now it's kind of scary. Just like all of it.
I have not read that one. It is on my list.
Shannon. Here.
I'm sorry.
It's basically like if you ever had a moment where you like kind of lost your temper, back then they'd be like, well, off to the asylum you go.
Yeah.
With your hysterics and your crying.
Yeah. That's a lot of The Woman in White while I'm, you know, washing my dishes in my kitchen. And I'm just like, she's fine. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
She's having a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she would with the way you're treating her. Yeah, so, but timepiece isn't, and I have to always, you know, remind myself to calm down and not put myself in the shoes.
You're going to end up in the asylum. She read a book and she went into hysterics, and I just don't know what to do with her anymore.
I probably have been thrown in a couple of sane asylums by now.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Scott doesn't always put the dishes away. I'd probably be like, oh, and he'd be like, off to the asylum.
Probably waking you up sometimes, too.
This is not where this pot goes.
Yeah, disturbing your sleep.
My sleeping gauze.
Yeah. Whatever that means in your...
It's what Stephen King calls it. Sleeping gauze. I don't know.
Sleeping gauze.
Comfy blanket.
Yeah.
I have another Stephen King book.
Okay.
Obviously It.
Yes.
I've not read it.
What?
My friend Julia has read it right before we went and saw the film. And spoiler, I always say film. I don't know, like, I don't mean to sound so, like, it sounds like very snobby when I say it. I don't say movie, I say film. I like to say film. Anyway, when
we're going to the pictures.
We're going to the film. And I loved the film. When I was young, I saw like 10 minutes of, my cousins were babysitting me, or someone, I was with my older cousins, and I wasn't supposed to be watching the movie they were watching. I don't think they were babysitting me, because I don't think they would have been allowed, like, to watch me. But anyway, I was like, they're like, you're not allowed to watch this, and I, like, snuck down to watch it, because I was like,
you can't tell that to us.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to watch this scary thing, because I'm an adult. And I watched the scene where he's in the storm drain, and I literally cried for, I had to tell my parents, I was like, I saw this movie, and then, like,
people got in trouble.
And my mom was like, this is why you can't watch scary movies, like, you're a baby, and, anyway, it is something I would like to challenge myself to read, now having seen the film, and being both terrified of it, and just loving it, because it was such a good story, it had everything. You know, Julia, when I asked her, I was like, how would you sell this to people listening? And she was like, everyone should face their fears. It's terrifying. It's heartbreaking. It'll make you sad. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you scream. Like, it has all the elements of a really, really good story, not just scary. In fact, when I was looking up information on it before I went and saw the film, someone had said in a review that it was like a really good coming of age story. So in my mind, I was like, oh, so it won't be that scary. And then in the theater, I'm sitting there with my coat over my face, like, liar! You have lied to me! This is horrifying! Anyway, I want to read that, so.
I highly, highly, highly recommend the audiobook.
Okay.
Really?
That'll take forever.
45 hours.
I know, but you can speed it. Okay, so this
God, that is a work week. Doesn't that just depress you?
No, because that's
longer than
okay.
No, maybe you work week.
So, it's narrated by actor Steven Weber, and he talks fairly slow in the narration, so you could actually speed it up a little bit mm-hmm. and be okay. But it is one of the, and I say this as someone who listens to a lot of audiobooks, it is one of the best audiobook narrations I have ever listened to.
Does he do the Hiya Georgie really well?
He does all of it. He does, like, all of the characters have very distinct voices, and you can tell that this is coming from an actor who really likes to get into the role he's playing. It's just really, really well done. It's long.
But yeah, I don't, clowns, man. I'm not even that scared of clowns. Like, it's not like a deep phobia of mine.
I don't know.
I guess if I saw a clown on the street, like, just, like, I wouldn't be like, I'm gonna go seek out that clown. But, I mean, I'm not, like, ever, like, terrified. But that was just, that, it's something I do want to, like, make myself read. But I've built so, like, so much up in my mind that the audiobook might, and I could do it at work where I'm safe.
That's what I do, yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
I'm just saying, it's a really good audiobook.
So, I have one that's actually historical fiction.
Okay.
So, I'm sure many of you have heard of Countess Elizabeth Bathory.
Yes.
So this is called The Countess.
I don't know. Why don't
By Rebecca Johns.
Who is she?
So she is a noblewoman, I want to say, in the 1600s.
Okay.
So this is sort of a dramatization of her life. So it starts off with her, you know, becoming a loving wife and mother and wanting to do, you know, excel in that and secure her family's future. And then slowly turns into her descent of murdering and bathing in blood.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah. So it was very, very good because she's essentially writing this letter to her son explaining everything. And it's about how she is murdering the daughters of these noble women in effort to retain her virtue and youth and shiny, dewy skin.
Yep. Like you do.
Like you do.
I mean, skincare is tough.
Skincare is important.
You gotta, you know, keep it fresh.
And you need the blood of virgins to keep it real good.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah. She's considered, like, the first serial killer or first female serial killer. One of the two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was just slaughtering young women for their blood. And they ended, she eventually ran out of people in her neighboring town. So she had to, like, outsource it. And then all the nobles were like, what's happening to our daughters? And they realized what was happening, and they, like, walled her up in, like, a room, and all she had was, like, a little slit for, like, food. Because they were like, well, we can't kill you and try you because you're a noble woman, but you're also batshit crazy and a danger and murdering people.
She looks good in this picture, though. So.
Well, that's because she's bathing in the blood of noble women's virgin.
I mean,
it's probably proven good for your skin if you didn't go that far.
The price of beauty.
So that's really good because it kind of gets into her mindset and her descent, and it's very messed up, very scary.
I haven't read that. I didn't.
It's good.
I'm very excited to discover this little piece of history I didn't know anything about.
I watched a lot of stuff on TV during Halloween. Of, like, serial killers and ghosts. And
I just listened to a podcast.
Doesn't everybody do that?
Cecil Hotel. It's true. Did you guys ever hear that? The Cecil Hotel? It's real haunted.
Where is it located?
America.
It was in America. California?
I think California.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, it is. It's like by Skid Row in California.
Yeah.
It's where, like, a lot of really
crazy. Oh, wait, is that the one that was...
The woman was found in the water system?
No, is that the... Well, yeah.
Yes, that one. And the Black Dahlia and
the Black Dahlia. Yeah. Is this the one when American Horror Story, is it based on that, I wonder?
I think so, yeah.
So I did not... So I was... Anyway, this...
No Lady Gaga at this hotel, though.
Yeah, no Lady Gaga. Probably. Right. No, probably not, but... anyway, that's not... It's not a book, so I can stop talking, but if you ever want to discuss conspiracy theories, listeners, hit me up. Got a lot of thoughts.
What podcast were you listening to?
Haunted Places.
All right, I'm gonna have to look for that one.
Look it up. His voice is a. I thought I was listening to an ad for the first 4 minutes because I was his voice threw me off, and then I was like, "Oh wait, this is part of the podcast." So I like started over because his voice is very much like in the middle of the night. This happened, and it was like really intense, and I was like, "I wonder when he's gonna get to like when are we gonna get to the story?" And then, but a little cheesy, but really good. I liked it. Julia, who's recommended a lot of the horror books on this list, suggested it to me because she knows I like that kind of stuff. So thanks again, Julia. I'm not going to sleep ever. Thanks to you.
So quickly, because we've gone almost an hour, I'm going to put you all on the spot. Hopefully you've maybe thought about this, but if you had to pick like your favorite horror book, what would it be? Who wants to start? I'll start. I would have to go with House of Leaves, honestly.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like I should go against the grain here because you both have said it, but also that.
It's a Leviathan. It is an adventure once you've done it. I feel like it is one of the toughest things that I've read, and then such
you feel
a gratifying
good that you
experience.
Read it, you're like, I finished it.
And also you're like having to struggle with sleeping at night.
Haunting of Hill House for the sake of.
It's very good, though. It's very good.
The one I'm going to go with might have also been a circumstantial thing. Because my dumbass read it when we were camping in the middle of the woods.
Oh no.
Which is not when you read horror novels.
It's not when you read horror novels.
Because I didn't sleep at all that weekend, and I didn't even finish the book. I got a few chapters in. So it was The Shining by Stephen King.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that was a good book to read before we went camping on Memorial Day weekend, so it was an extended weekend. Mm. And on the way to the campsite, and within the first couple hours we were there, because I went to bed that night, and I actually didn't go to bed that night. Like, every noise, I was, like looking around, like, I'm going to die. So, and I actually didn't finish it because I was so scared from that weekend, and I still haven't gotten the nerve to pick it up. But I'm pretty sure, again, that was because I was reading it while I was camping in the middle of the woods.
Not the smartest decision.
No.
No. No.
I don't think, if I had to, like, pick a horror film to not, or a horror book to not, like, you know when you're, like, pick your favorite YA universe?
Yeah.
Where would you, like, would you survive it or whatever? And everyone's, like, people who like The Hunger Games are like, I'm good, I don't want to play this game. Like, House of Leaves, absolutely. I don't want to be any part of that.
No.
Same with City Infernal. Nope. I'm good. Don't want to be.
I think it's safe to say most of these I would not want to be a part of.
But, yeah.
Fair.
Then, here's the question. Why did we read them?
Vicarious.
Because everyone likes to be a little bit scared.
It's that adrenaline.
It's the
connotation. It's the time of year almost too. Mm-hmm. Like I like getting scared this time of year. It is a rush. I do agree.
Especially at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and you're like, "What was that noise?"
That's the worst though. When you are like actually scared in real life and you're like. I know enough. Yeah. I've read enough. This is how I go.
Well, like, I'm constantly looking to see if I, like, locked my door or if anyone's in my tiny apartment as if I wouldn't really know that right away.
Right.
Yeah, I am. That too.
So, quick story. Joe, my husband, was gone somewhere for the night, or maybe the weekend. No, it was the night. And I was so freaked out. I don't remember what book I was reading, but I had moved the garbage can or the recycling bin in front of the door in our garage that leads to the outside. Because if someone or something broke in, they'd have to knock over the garbage can.
And they would be like, nah, not right. today. I'm not
so he came
that.
Home the next morning. He's like, why is the garbage can in front of the garbage, the garage door? I'm like, oh, to Dieter the ghosts and the murderers. And he's like, oh, that would have stopped them? I'm like, yeah.
It's like when you don't put your foot over the edge of the bed because you're like, I'm not dying tonight.
Oh, yeah. You got to stay under the covers.
No. Under the covers. Not even under the bed. Under the covers.
Then you watch the movie The Grudge and it's like, no. Broke the rules.
It's your fault, Sarah Michelle. You should know better.
Yeah. You were prepared. You're Buffy.
Yeah. That's why I can't watch that movie. I'm like, Buffy would not tolerate this.
I feel like it'd be hard to
play that
role.
And have, like, all the
role.
Wit in the world. Like, snark. Like, what are you doing, ghost? Get out of my shower.
I'm trying to wash off the blood.
You're evil. We get it.
All right. So on that note, thank you all for coming on the podcast and talking about horror books with me.
Anytime.
Anytime.
On this Friday the 13th.
How was your first time, Shannon?
Oh, it was pretty good.
Good. We'll have to have you back.
I'd love to be back.
Awesome. All right. Well, I hope all of our listeners found some good reads for October and Halloween and all that fun
stuff.
And
if you didn't, don't at me. It's not
You're
my
really
fault.
Into saying don't at me.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from Overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.